Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Good morning, Rock of Ages. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Before I begin, you obviously see that I have a very special guest of mine here with us this morning, and it's Pastor Duke, and I'm going to have Pastor Duke just greet you for a second.
Good morning, Rock of Ages. Thank you so much for having me. It's my honor to be here with Pastor Soto this morning to just share the Word of God with you guys.
Amen. Obviously, it's a little different this Sunday morning, but I think it's going to be extra special because it's going to give us a time to be able to inspect ourselves during this time of crisis. You know, we can't eliminate the fact or stop talking about the fact that we've been taken to a place not only nationally, world-wise, state-wise, but family and even personally. We've been taken to an isolated place where, gosh, yeah, you find yourself at the end of things sometimes because there's people today who are crying out to leave, to go to town like they used to, and the stuff that we used to be used to doing.
Right.
A few weeks ago, before I went into my surgery, I had begun a series that I didn't get a chance to finish except preach one part of it. And it was titled, For Such a Time as This. And I have to tell you, Pastor, that during this time that I've been away, something I really learned was what it's like to live alone. As you know, when I was isolated in the hospital doing all this, because of this quarantine, I couldn't see family. I couldn't see you, my kids, for a long time. And so you're stuck with yourself. And during that time, the Lord spoke to me, and He continues to speak to me even today. And especially this last week that I've been preparing to what I thought was hopefully bringing you back to that series For Such a Time as This. But He gave me a new and a fresh thought on the subject. Normally we use For Such a Time as This, as many ministers have, to speak about our responsibilities for the world that's lost, preach to them this and the other and etc. But this time the Lord really placed in my heart the urgency for me to look inside of me. Because we are certainly in a time, I think the whole church can agree, we're certainly in a time. And I believe God is interested that we know what a time like this has done to us. It proves us. It validates who we are in the Lord. And so today, as we begin this series, if you will, or devotional, we're not going to finish, obviously, today because I think there's so much to say concerning this topic. We're going to begin today with a couple of ideas and principles that I believe that God would have us to go back and learn from when it comes to ourselves. Let me just set up, if I can, the foundation for our conversation today. But before I do, let me invite you to text somebody and call your friends and family to join us this Sunday morning in the comfort of their home. And as you make yourself comfortable, call the young people, call your children. Sit down and enjoy this. I believe all of us are going to gain from God's Word. So text somebody and give them the link that we have. We're on YouTube and our personal website, and just all these other places that I'm sure are going to scroll up the screen right now. But please call somebody and let's enjoy ourselves in the presence of the Lord. Let's be challenged today. God's Word is challenging.
Amen.
It's challenging. So a lot of people run from the Word of God because of that. We don't like the challenge. But it's a wonderful thing because challenge will make you stronger. It'll align you better with what God wants us to live like and to be like.
Amen.
So I want to read a couple of passages if we can. And as we do, let's pray quickly. Father, we thank You that, Lord, You allow us to come into the homes of our brothers and sisters. And as they sit in the comfort of their home this morning, Father, I pray that You would just, Lord, take the ambience in their home and make it holy, Father, so that they can receive this word that You've planted in my heart and our hearts, that, God, that we would learn something this morning that You would have us so importantly embrace. So bless Your word today. Bless our Rock of Ages congregation. And Father God, may Your Holy Spirit move freely. We realize, obviously, that we are not at Rock of Ages in the physical, but Father, we are Rock of Ages. We are the church, Father God, right where we're at right now. So we establish our homes as holy ground. And Holy Spirit, we give You the license to move freely in our homes and in our lives right now as we hear these words of encouragement from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Amen.
Pastor, I'd like to read out of Judges chapter 6, verse 13. If you have your Bibles, you can join with me. And let me just kind of set it up for you a little bit. This is Judges. This is the time of Gideon when he was the general or the leader of the people of Israel. And if you read the chapters, the first verses before, you'll find that everything was okay with the people. Everything was all right with them. Everybody was happy. Everything was going just great. And so we've never found Gideon in this position until something happened. And what was that? That the Ammonites and the Amalekites came in. And the Bible said it was because of their sin that it caused them to fall into the grips of these negative and antichrist kind of people to come and take hostage their families, children, their finances, freedom to fellowship and to be together. And so Gideon is leading with great leadership at the time until this happens. And the passage I'm going to take you to right now is out of Judges chapter 6, verse 13, is when we find a conversation between him and the angel of the Lord. Surprisingly, the angel of the Lord finds Gideon under a tree. Now, I don't know if Gideon practiced doing that. The Bible says he was threshing wheat. But it also mentions that he was doing this so that the Amalekites wouldn't take it from him. So he was kind of cowarding, if you will, hiding stuff. And so we'll find that as he converses with the angel of the Lord, there's a certain change in his warrior attitude. Now he becomes a victimized type of conversation. And so let me just read it to kind of get us all in the same page, if you will. Judges chapter 6, verse 13 says, "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied. This is after the Lord had said, "The Lord be with you, mighty warrior." And so for Gideon, it was a surprise that God would call him a mighty warrior, as to remind him, hey, have you forgotten who you are? And Gideon replied, "But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Why are all his wonders? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about? They said, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in strength." This is the Lord speaking to Gideon. "You have, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" He said, "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my family." Mm. Wow. Let me read another passage, because I'm going to elaborate a little bit on these passages that I'm just going to read to you. 2 Corinthians, we find Paul speaking, chapter 13, verse 5. And he says to the people, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you have failed the test." That's a very challenging word from the Apostle Paul. And again, what we find in these two passages, Pastor, is this. It gives us a sense of responsibility. It gives us a sense of the perpetual relationship we're supposed to have with Christ, regardless of where we're at, whether at the top or in the valley. For Gideon, everything was happy-go-lucky when everything was going good in the nation. God was moving, everybody was working, everybody was making money. But all of a sudden, the storm comes in and takes them hostage. And the same thing with Paul to the church of Corinth. Again, this particular word of encouragement, if you will, or an exhortation, if you will, he's telling him, listen, look at yourselves on the inside to see who you really are. Mm-hmm. Do you not realize, and that kind of implies that maybe somebody did forget, that Christ is in you. And so again, church, as we talk about this, I want to really set the platform and take you to that place where God, during these times of stress, at times he allows us, as he allowed Gideon and his people to go through, and Paul to speak to the church of Corinth as well, he allows us certain things that we can go through, not to find out what's going on the world outside, but to find out what's going on inside our world and where our relationship with God is at that time. And so this is what the premise of this whole devotional this morning is. We're going to find out If we truly are living up to who we were during the good times, and now today that we're quarantined by this unseen virus, a deadly threat to the church and people dying and hurting all over this world. But what does it reveal about us? What does this whole challenge reveal about us? And this is what we want to talk about, Pastor Duke, and I'm glad that you joined me this morning. The first thing I want us to speak about is our responsibility to community. What has it done in your heart as you consider the fact that now we're not in church together anymore? Now we're alone. We can't go anywhere to the store. You can't go out and barbecue with your friends that easy. You can't do all these things. And now we become a single, quiet people inside a bedroom looking out the window. And my thought behind this is, what has it done to our fellowship? Do you still reach out to the community? You used to gain encouragement from those you met at church and all these things, but now all of a sudden, because we're told to stay indoors, you've lost communication. And I believe it's important for God to remind us today that our fellowship is important.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
I think there's a scripture that you might agree with, and you've read yourself, if you will, is that we are instructed of the Lord to never give up the meeting together. Now, I know he doesn't mention, all these viruses and all these things that can separate us, but the simple fact that he says, regardless of where you're at, don't ever stop meeting with each other. Mm-hmm. And God knows we have so many avenues and ways to communicate, and we'll mention some of those as we go, but what can you say about us not forgetting to fellowship, right, to text, to Instagram, to FaceTime, all these things?
Something I've always felt, Pastor, is that, you know, I think the word fellowship, it's interpreted sometimes, you know, as only a gathering of people. And if that was the case, then that means that in this season that we're living in, we would not be able to have fellowship. And so something I believe that, you know, the Lord spoke to me about fellowship was this, is that fellowship in the kingdom of God, having fellowship with the Holy Spirit and with the saints isn't as much about the fact that there was a gathering, but it's about more than what happened. It's about more that actually happens when they gather. And so I think something that's so important for us to note is that this is incredibly vital to our not only, I don't want to use the word just success in terms of goals, but our health and our relationship, mm-hmm, with God, our health in edifying one another in God. And so the Holy Spirit gives us the invitation, right?
Mm-hmm.
His invitation into fellowship is about a relationship that offers us life and transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an invitation that leads us to a place of surrendering our will and living out His. But fellowship with the saints also has that similar ability, and that is to bring out encouragement and transformation in your life. The Bible says, the all familiar passage, that iron sharpens iron, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we need one another in this season. But the Bible also says that by faith comes by hearing,
mm-hmm,
and by hearing the word of God. And so something that I've also, I always feel is incredibly important in a season like this, where we don't have physical contact, we don't have, you know, fellowship inside of a building in a corporate way anymore, but we have the avenues, we have the ability to fellowship through social media, like you, mm-hmm, mentioned, through things like Zoom nowadays. And something that, you know, has been very relevant to our life is, mm-hmm, you know, Mandy and I lead our life group, right? And so every week we have our life group, and there's 7, 8, 9 people that jump on there. And something that's so powerful is every time we gather together, we initially gather because we haven't heard from, you know, one another, you know, the last few days, and we initially gather and catch up with one another. We say, you know, how's it been going the,
yeah,
last few days? And a lot of times, you know, it starts off a little, you know, blah, because it's well, I'm going through this, I'm going through that, and I'm going through this, and I'm going through that. And after the Holy Spirit begins to lead that fellowship and begins to speak to one of us, and then we begin to encourage each other with testimony,
mm-hmm,
by the end of the conversation, we literally go from being almost lifeless to full of life.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what fellowship is.
Mm-hmm.
When I have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, when it's just me and Him, it's me and God,
mm-hmm,
I might step into that meeting with him lifeless because I'm beat down by whatever circumstance I'm going through. But then by the end of that encounter, I'm full of life, man. Yeah. And I'm ready to fulfill his will. I'm ready to, you know, live for the kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I think is incredibly important about fellowship in the times that we're living in.
And that's so true. That's so true. I was watching Instagram and a couple of your pictures, and I see where people are making funny faces. But that's a great thing because it just confirms that fellowship, that, man, it's so good to see you.
Yeah.
And all. But when you have that rap session, that community fellowship, when you get to speak to the young people and the people who are coming to that life group, you get a chance to hear what they're going through, and it just bubbles up within you that word of encouragement.
Right.
You know, and the Bible says, and this is one of my favorite verses, that the Bible says that he who encourages one will himself be encouraged or refreshed, if you will. And so that's what I believe community as well is all about. It's encouraging each other. In fact, the Bible says that we are to encourage ourselves as we see the day approaching, the coming of the Lord. You know, there's an example that I've given many times to the church while we were in full color, if you will, inside the building. And the illustration simply is very simple. It says, you know, when you have charcoal and you light it up, if you light them up one at a time, well, it'll set out a certain amount of heat. But when you get a whole bunch of charcoal together and you light it up, it sends out a lot of heat. But if you take one of those charcoals away from that little hill and leave it alone, soon enough it'll begin to die out while the other ones are still smoldering and burning hot together. And this is what community, I think, one of the greatest things about community, it does. It keeps you on fire.
Right.
You see? Now, here's the challenge. You know, and you know this as well as I do and everybody else that's listening this morning. The challenge for us is to ask ourselves, how much do we value community?
Right.
How much do we care about all of them? And all of you out there who are of like faith, and I used to fellowship at church and embrace and hug and kiss, and now I don't see you anymore because of this. How important was that to me then, and how important to me is it now? You see, it's incredible to think of it this way, but our friendship and our community, our getting together and our talking is basically a text away, or YouTube away, or whatever social media we have, FaceTime. And I find, sadly, sometimes that when we become nothing more than a switch, we look at it as not important. And so why should I text Pastor Duke and say, how you doing, man? Do I want to pray for you? Or why would I even sit down this morning to look at this service? It's just a switch away. Turn it on, turn it off. And we fail to see the importance that we were talking about right now. All of that we've talked about, the encouragement, the survival element of it, if you will, in the Lord, comes from you keeping that channel on, you texting that brother and finding out. It's easy to text your friends and girlfriends and all that stuff that you have out there. But what's important I'm talking about here and that we're talking about this morning is our relationship with God and how we're going to keep it on fire. And so your community stressing out for or your community impulse, where is it right now? Are you texting regularly? Are you chiming in to our services on Sunday morning? You know, are you praying for people? Are you finding out who's sick amongst us?
Right.
You know, the Bible teaches us in the book of Thessalonians that when anybody is sick, they should call the elders. There's communication there. There's communication. It's calling you, hey man, I'm sick, call me. And you find encouragement for yourselves. When you segregate yourselves and ourselves, this is when we find ourselves listening to sometimes louder voices in our heads, voices of failure, voices of I'm never gonna get well, voices that tell us you'll never get out of this situation. But when you mix yourself with those who believe in Christ, you're encouraged to say, you know what? I was allowing the devil to make a mountain out of an anthill. We are more than conquerors.
Right.
You know, we are overcomers in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Weapons forged against us will not prosper. I need to hear that, especially my time, boy. You know that.
Right.
I need to hear that when you come over and when I call you. I need to hear, listen, keep your chin up.
Yeah.
Because we're winners.
Right.
Hey, we're winners. We're not going to quit on this.
It's like we're like links in a chain. And if you snip that chain, you cut that chain, you break that lifeline that chain becomes that we all need to survive with, right? And and obviously it all leads us to Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we are all part where we're supposed to be connected.
Yeah.
God designed us to be connected in that
family.
Way where we have that kind of ability to stay connected. So if the enemy tries to pull us this way, if we're connected, we all can resist that, and we can pull those people back. You know,
exactly,
we can pull
right.
them back to Jesus. And I think something that's sometimes it's overlooked in our spiritual walk is that the enemy is so crafty. In other words, he's so deceitful, and that he wants people to believe that they don't need community, right? He wants people to believe that they don't need fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why he does that is because he loves isolation.
Yeah.
If he can isolate you, there, like you said, it's that coal that's separated.
Mm-hmm.
Now he knows that he can separate you and begin to, you know, make that flame die out and,
mm-hmm.
and weaken your relationship
there
with
you
God.
Go. That's right. That's right. That's so true. You know, I was watching this, I don't know if it's called National Geographic or not, but it speaks about the animals in Africa. And I was, I'm intrigued by the strength of the lion and all of these things. And some of these, the shows are pretty graphic, and they show where, you know, it life takes life to survive and on
mm-hmm.
and on. But I was looking at one particular show just the other day, and it shows where the hyenas, you know, they're predators to a lot of animals. Obviously, they have to eat, and they're carnivores. And so I was learning about their hunting habits. And I realized that during that show, and I believe all of us know this, but it's important for us to remember, especially as we talk about us sticking together.
Mm.
You know, the hyenas always will wait to find the weakest link.
Mm.
And the weakest link is always identified by how far back from the initial huge pride is.
Right.
And so they'll chase, they don't worry about the guy in front. That guy's strong.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's got a clan around him. In the middle, they're doing okay because now they're in the center of the whole thing. Even close to the back, they still have just a little scream and they'll hear everybody. But the one that's lagging behind, for whatever reason it may be, that guy doesn't have a chance in the midst of a chasing pride of hyenas.
Mm.
And so they'll get him and they will consume him. And this is exactly, I believe there's a spiritual truth to that.
Right.
That the Lord wants us right deep in the pride, if you will, the tribe of Jesus, the church,
yes.
So that the devil can't look at us as the weakest link. But
right.
he says, hey, man, you go and chase Pastor Duke around. He's right in the middle of the church, man. We're going to get beat up and horned up by all these other guys. You know, and he spoke about that tug of war thing. Well, who's going to win, one or many?
Right.
You know, and we are many. And I promise you that we probably wouldn't have that many Christians kind of fizz out on us, if you will, if we indeed learn that tug of rope lesson.
Right.
That when anybody wants to get pulled away, or the devil wants to take one of God's soul away,
right.
we're tightly knit to that rope, and
right.
we're going to pull them in. Isn't it Solomon, Pastor, that said that a rope of three strands is not easily broken?
Right.
You know, can you imagine a strand of 400?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, can you imagine a rope of 400 strands?
Right.
Nobody will break that. You can.
And everyone needs someone. You know, Paul had Barnabas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had somebody that was that encourager in his life
mm-hmm.
that he needed when he was in prison for his faith.
Yeah.
When he was going through tremendous trial, he needed somebody. And we can sometimes think, you know, well, I'm strong. You know,
yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
I can do this on my own. It's me and the Holy Spirit in it, or it's me and God. And you know what? At the end of the day, you know, yes, God is all you need, you
mm-hmm.
know, but there, he has given us this design to live in community.
Correct.
Jesus picked 12 for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just because he could have just said, well, you know what? I'm going to just pick one.
Yeah, he's
and
the Lord.
And he's going to be the guy. But no, he picked 12 for a reason, because they would eventually go off two by two.
Mm-hmm.
They would eventually go off in groups and reach many, many people because of that. So yeah, we definitely need
mm-hmm.
that element of having that togetherness, of having that connection with brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's something that I think we gloss over sometimes, and we just don't do it enough. Sometimes the Lord puts someone on our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in that moment, maybe we think about them, and then we say, oh, well, I'm busy right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna send them that text message, or I'm not gonna make that phone call, or send him that Facebook message. But I believe that's the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit's saying in that moment, hey, listen, pray for them. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't know the need, or maybe you don't have time to get to know the need. But listen, lift them up, you know, pray for them in that moment, because they could be going through something right then and there, and the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do that.
Yeah.
And so he's the one that keeps us woven together. You know,
exactly.
He's the one that keeps us glued together, but we definitely need this fellowship.
Amen. Well, church, you know, obviously you see the foundation of this conversation concerning community. What we want to encourage you to do is listen, now that we are quarantined and alone, listen, use the resource that God has given you. Call people. Find Rock of Ages, where they're at. You haven't seen the brother that you sit next to in the next pew at church. Call them. They need a word of prayer. And like Pastor said, hey, we don't know what they're going through. We don't know the challenges they're facing. I've called many people many times, and I need to say that many people have called me and text me just to tell me, Pastor, we love you. We're praying for you. And at that time, I was just drying the tears off my face because I've been going through a terrible pain or a terrible time with this whole thing that I've been going through the past few months, that I just felt Jesus talk to me. Mm. And I believe that the Lord has brought us together because we are the voice of Christ to each other in many forms and shapes. You know, when I stand behind the church when our services were over, I get hugs and kisses from all of you. And then somebody will whisper something so awesome. You know, and I don't care if it's a simple, great sermon or God spoke to me in this word, or Pastor, we love you. Be encouraged. God is going to use you greater. Or when I was going through the detrimental time of me being diagnosed and then certainly that horrible surgery I went through, for people to say, you will live and not die. Mm. God is not finished with you.
Yeah.
And so that is so encouraging. And again, that wouldn't happen unless I had people around me.
Mm-hmm.
A pastor said right now, Duke said that the Lord would send them eventually in two and twos, but you'll notice he never sent them alone.
Yep.
In the beginning, when God created Adam, he said he saw that he was alone and he saw that it was not good. And so you know what? I'm excited and I bless you today because I know that as I look at Rock of Ages and the constituency, the membership, we know we're not alone.
Right.
But are we taking advantage right now of that awesome resource and blessing of having each other? We need to come together. Remember community. Where has community found this place in your heart today? Are you reaching out? Are you speaking to your brothers and sisters still? Or are we becoming strangers every week that this thing keeps us apart? When we go back to Rock of Ages in full color, and I believe that we will pretty soon, are we going to have to reintroduce ourselves? Are we going to celebrate because we're together in the physical once again?
Right.
Community. Let's not let that thin out. Let's keep that alive. Who knows? The Lord allowed us, you and I, to go through this situation for such a time as this to learn how to embrace community and family and church. Rock of Ages, reach out to each other. Encourage each other. Let's get together so that when we go back together, it's just going to be a continuing conversation.
Right.
Because we will have all reached out. That's what we're doing right now as we speak to you. We're reaching out to you. Don't turn the TV off. Don't turn YouTube off. Get in here. Know that we're reaching out to you to say blessings on you. Right. We love you. God has a plan for you. He has not changed his mind about you. You need encouragement? We're here for you every day. I don't care how late it is. We're always praying for sick people. Amen. If you have a petition that we need to pray over and it's private, message us. We'll make it private. We're going to pray together over the situation. And so just let us know. I want to touch something else this morning if we can, Pastor.
Yep.
And on the second topic that I believe the Lord has laid on my heart when it comes to such a time as this is the challenge of us considering where our prayer life has gone.
Right.
I'm telling you, you know, many people have said prayer is a lost art in the church. And sadly enough, I don't want to agree, but as pastor for the past 30 some odd years, I have to agree.
Mm.
The most ill-attended services, as you know, are prayer services.
Mm.
And we can have a full church on Sunday morning, on Wednesday teaching time, and whatever other extracurricular and biblical times we have together. But when it comes to prayer, wow, the lines really thin out.
Mm.
You know, now I realize, and I need to say this with kindness and understanding, that I'm sure a lot of people are working during prayer times and have certain agendas, if you will, or duties they have to do. But I'm talking about those who somehow just simply forget or have lost grip of how special prayer is. You know, in the Bible, if I can, and we're going to elaborate on this just a little bit more this morning before we dismiss, if you will, is, again, Paul speaking about examining themselves. And then we find in the scripture that the Lord is encouraging the men to always praise without ceasing, to pray for all things. In fact, there was a time when Jesus said, "You have not because you ask not." You know, and it's a conversation. The Lord desires to hear from us. During this time of this crisis, if you will, that's another thing that can easily slip from us. We used to pray in church because pastor said, "Let us all pray." You sit at a table with guests, and it's only right that we pray for the meal. When we go to children's church to see our kids, and they're praying for our kids, we pray for our kids. But what about now that you're home?
Right.
If somebody has to, if you will, quarantine your house, you have your children, your wife, your family, and just life in general in your home. Where has our prayer life gone? Have you taken the responsibility to bring that time and the altar time that you had at church and bring it home? Do you still pray for your families and say, "You know what, this morning, we're going to pray"? As your kids go about their day, do you pray for them? Do you pray for your meal while it's just you and your kids and nobody's watching? Do you pray over your petitions and your needs? Do you pray just to thank God and praise Him?
Right.
Or do you call upon Him only when there's a time of need? Prayer, I believe, is something, Pastor, that I think the devil has always, since the beginning, tried to take us away from. And yet over and over in scripture, we find scriptures that the Bible says, "Call out unto me and I will respond to you."
Right.
Call out to me. You know, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." And you can only know somebody's voice when you converse together. And so where has prayer gone in your life as you face a time like this? What do you think, Pastor?
You know, something that I think I've always felt strongly about is that, you know, the beauty of prayer is that it's an access point, right? Mm-hmm. It's the place that we start this conversation where we are able to enter into the presence of God. And so, you know, there's this conversation, like you said, it's an exchange between the Maker and His creation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, it's this place where you have the ability to converse with the God of this universe.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you not, you know, have this conversation with God, you know, and you're pouring out your heart to Him, whether it be through thankfulness, whether it be through worship, whether it be through petition, you know, and I believe in the moments when we pray, whatever it is, it's in that time when we are praying that the Holy Spirit takes that opportunity and He begins to just shape us.
Mm-hmm.
And the presence of God is able to just come over you in such a powerful way that you almost forget what you even went into the presence to pray about in the first place.
Right.
And it's a powerful thing. But see, the times that we're living in, prayer has to be prioritized.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember in Jesus's one of His greatest trials in the Garden of Gethsemane, what were the disciples doing? They were asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is saying, "Wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up. Can't you just stay awake with me for a little while and pray?" Why? Because He was about to go into His greatest trial.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and I believe right now the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and He's saying, "Wake up, church."
Yeah.
Wake up, church.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up, church. Because, you know, the times that we're living in, Pastor, I pray that these days get peaceful. And I pray that these days, you know, I pray the Lord returns. But listen, I don't know what tomorrow holds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to be strengthened in prayer through receiving, you know, His voice back into my life, the presence of God in my life, so that I am strengthened in my inner man to continue to go on, to continue to live in this world, to continue to you know, just find myself. And so, you know, there's that saying that says this: a prayerless people is a powerless people, but a prayerful people is a powerful people. And so something special about prayer is that it's continually available.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that I love. The Bible says when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And I want to just encourage the listeners today. I think sometimes, you know, like you said, Pastor, it's, you know, it might be the most ill-attended service, you know, in church, because It has become a lost art. Mm-hmm. But the beauty about prayer and the beauty about having a relationship with God is that we can pray at any moment.
That's right.
The single mom, think about this. You know, the single mom that's got the kids running around and she's doing dishes and she's, you know, being bombarded by life. She might not have time until the kids go to bed and until, you know, she has that opportunity. But the beauty about prayer is that she can pray right there when she's standing there doing the dishes.
That's right.
You can pray when you're driving to work. Mm-hmm. You can pray in that moment where you know, you wake up and the Lord wakes you up early in the morning. Mm-hmm. And you have that opportunity in to commune with God. And, mm-hmm. and it's from that place when we take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. We feel the Holy Spirit, I believe, recalibrate our hearts, because yeah. sometimes we go into prayer kind of bitter.
Yeah.
Sometimes we go into prayer, you know, maybe questioning God, or maybe, you know, having different things that our life has done to us, and all of a sudden we enter into that place. But once we get there, the beauty is that the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, is able to just reshape us, mm-hmm. retune us, reform us. It's a potter's wheel experience. He shapes us again, and all of a sudden we're changed. Back into His image, we're changed back into His likeness. Mm-hmm. And that's what I believe prayer does. You know, mm-hmm. it changes things. It changes things in such a powerful,
puts you
way.
Back in line.
Absolutely.
You know, when I was at the hospital in Houston, if I can mention this, I found myself in a 15 by 15 room with nothing but machines. And of course, the occasional nurse coming in to draw blood and all these things.
Right.
But when it got evening, I kind of dreaded a little bit when it got dark, because that's when everything was pretty quiet. Mm. But it wouldn't take me long before I realized, I mean, what am I going to do? I was obviously laid back because of the surgery on my belly and everything else. And we can't be on the phone with home all this time. And so I found myself not being able to reach for my Bible or whatever, because it was far away. I couldn't get up. And so it just came upon me something. I believe it was the Spirit of the Lord reminding me, and said, why don't you talk to me? Mm-hmm. And I can tell you this, and forgive me if I get a little emotional, but I ended up endless nights in that dark room, just talking. Mm-hmm. Talking to Him. Am I going to get out of this? How am I? Father, I love You. I've loved You all these years. I've praised You. I've taught and I've led many to salvation through You, Lord. Nothing, no glory to me. And I began to just worship, and I established that habit, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's a good habit. That today, I've been home now for a month now and still quarantining my home because of my immune system and all these things. You know, habits are hard to break. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that prayer for my life is a habit I've not been able to break, because now as I go to sleep at night and the nights and the dark room takes over, if you will, my wife is asleep, I'll turn around as I can and I'll begin to pray.
Right.
Just like I used to at the hospital. I used to pray a lot at the church, take time to pray before I prepared a sermon to speak. But I can't go to my office right now. Mm-hmm. I can't go to the altar, kneel down and pray like I used to.
Right.
So what has prayer become to my life? The same thing. An everlasting need mm-hmm. that I have. It's the manna you receive in prayer that allows you to be well nourished during the day in your walk with
Amen.
God.
Amen.
You know? And so what, and it's great, we were talking about community, and it's great to encourage each other, but can you imagine? And I know that you've had the experience. I know you can say amen if you've had the experience that there is no better encouragement than to hear from God Himself.
Yeah.
And as we talked about this just a few days ago, Pastor Duke and I get excited to think that some of the greatest times that I've ever had in prayer is the time that I've been alone. Mm-hmm. What a great example we have, Christ. Mm-hmm. He told the disciples, wait here. He went off and found a place by himself. I've been driving in the car and I began to pray. And all of a sudden I find myself almost having to pull over because my tears are flowing.
Yeah.
And I feel the Holy Spirit just invade my car.
Yeah.
You know, I could be in my bed while I'm hurting in my back. And I began to pray. And by the time you know it, that pain in the back seems to diminish and go off into the woodwork, and I'm weeping in the presence of the Lord because He's speaking to me. Mm-hmm. Don't let us lose grip with prayer. While you're alone, value it, cherish it. God has given you a precious diamond through prayer, a vehicle that has set an audience of one between you and God,
right.
just to talk to Him. You're going through a need because of work, Pray. Yeah. Somebody gets sick, especially now with all this virus thing going on. And I get petitions all the time over the text to pray for this person, this loved one, this and the other. And we pray. But I also always remember to tell them, you pray. Mm-hmm. Lay hands on them. How many times have you prayed for your children, laid hands on them? How many times has my wife laid hands on me and prayed, or me over Pastor Duke or anybody else of my family members, to say, Lord, heal him. Mm-hmm. Father, I believe in prayer. And we believe in prayer, Rock of Ages. This is why it's easy to speak to you about this. Right. But we're speaking to those who sometimes the devil can have a little strength and loosen us away, that we're not praying enough anymore. Right. Let's remember the fellowship we have with Christ during right. these times. Let's remember the power. The Bible says that the prayer of the just availeth much power. Mm. I think the church, what should be doing now, if I can mention this, what we should be doing as a church is calling out the whole church to set a day apart to pray against this virus.
Amen.
To pray.
Right.
To stand up as foot soldiers in the presence of the Lord and stand at the gates and point at that devil, that virus,
right.
and say, get out. Mm. Get out. And I believe, sadly enough, the devil runs over our nation and our cities right. and our homes simply because there's no one there to resist.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. And how do we do that? By knowing that we have communication with God through prayer.
Right.
Amen?
And we establish the altar of God wherever we go.
Yeah.
Because we've been given this gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'm reminded of that story in Acts chapter 12 where the Bible says that Peter was imprisoned. And Herod, you know, captures Peter, and he's in prison. He's got guards to his right, to his left. And the Bible says that the church was praying earnestly for Peter. Since the church was praying earnestly for Peter, and the Bible says that he has a visitation by an angel of the Lord.
Yeah.
He has this visitation by the angel of the Lord, and they break the chains
off of his wrists.
Mm. They break the chains off of his wrists. The angel of the Lord leads him out of this prison through town, and they get to the house where they find a group of the church praying. They find
Correct.
The people of God praying. The Bible says then that a young servant girl named Rhoda, she answers the door. She answers the door and she hears Peter's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like ecstatic. She goes, oh my God, you know, the miracle's standing at the door. So she runs back into the room where everyone's praying, and she says, Peter's at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that were praying said, no, that can't be
Correct.
True. That can't be true.
That's, yeah.
Peter's not there. And so the Bible says that she takes them back. They go. They see Peter standing at the door. And, you know, something that is so true about prayers, that sometimes there's a saying that we can exalt form over function. That means that sometimes we can just pray to pray because it's a routine. And then there's other times where we can pray and we can believe.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pray and believe, it takes you into that supernatural realm of power. And I believe they were praying and they were seeking God about this. They were saying, Lord, deliver Peter. And then when he actually showed up at the door, they didn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And so many Christians, I think they pray, they ask the Lord, they're praying for something. They're saying, God, you know, do this, Lord, help me with this, Lord, change my family, fix my marriage, you know, help me in my finances. And they're praying about this thing, but they don't really believe it.
Yeah.
You see, they got to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Because once they believe it, the miracle could have been standing at the door mm-hmm. of their heart this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
The miracle of God could have been standing right there this whole time. And they needed to go even further and believe it and claim the promises of
Amen.
God over
Amen.
Their family.
Amen.
And so something that you know, I wrote down is that I believe that prayer shouldn't only be about an action, but it should always lead to an encounter with the Lord.
That's right.
And this is exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
They prayed, and then, you know, it happened, and then they said,
wow,
there's no way it could happen.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
And then they believed, and they said, wait, it really did happen.
Exactly.
You know, we need that.
Through this time right now, I believe that's one of the main crutches that kind of deviates us from mm-hmm. from prayer, because we don't really believe it'll happen. If I can give you a couple of illustrations, if you will, that I'm reminded of as you speak. This illustration speaks about four ministers driving in a car down a road. And when they were driving down the road, their car stalled. And none of them, all of them being halfway mechanics, this and the other, they pull over. It's a hot day. And so they get off to investigate what's going on with their car. So they open the hood. And the first one says, well, I know a little bit about the carburetor. So he gets in there and starts tweaking the carburetor. And they keep trying. And nothing happens. And then the guy says, well, let me look at this because I know a little bit about the electrical stuff. So he began to rewire some of the things in his broken car and try it and and nothing happened to the car. And then the third one came in and said, well, I know a little bit about water coolants and stuff like that. Maybe just overheated. Let's find out if we have water in this thing. And they tried it again. They saw and they just couldn't find it. The end of their trouble. But the last minister in there said, why don't we pray? Why don't we pray over the car? And that's a silly gesture, don't you think? Like, hey, let's pray over my iPad, you know, that kind of thing. Let's pray over the car. And everybody said, hey, well, I guess. As if this guy was taking a particular position of inactivity and just the easy way out, if you will. And so the minister gets up and goes to the engine and lays hands on it and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak against anything and everything, spirit or otherwise, mechanically, to let go of our engine and start our car. We've got a campaign to go to. So devil, get out. And I command this car to start now. And so he gets his hands off and everybody says, amen, because that's what you're supposed to say when everybody says amen. And he tells the guy, one of the pastors, to try to start it. And he hesitates as he's got his key on the hand on the key. He'll start it. And then he stops and pulls one of his legs out and says, hey, what if it does start? You know, what if it does start? You know, and I'm going like, what? You know, they had more faith in the people that could do things tangibly and had more knowledge in mechanics. Wow. Than the Father who could change things completely. I'm also reminded of another illustration, if I can share it with you. It talks about an individual who was driving down a car again, but down this very narrow road up a mountain, and there's a cliff to the sides. And something happened that his car kind of wobbled and messed up in one of the tires, and it rolled him over, and he popped out of the car and went down the hill, which was a 1,000-foot drop. But on the way, he hung on to a limb on the wall. And so he's there. And he's a Christian man, obviously. And he's praying, oh, Lord, Lord, help me. And he looks down. He can't hardly see the ground. It's so far. And so he says, Lord, help me. And all of a sudden, as he was quiet there holding on for his life, he hears a voice that says, let go. Let go. I got you. Let go. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. I'm going to die if I fall from this thing. Rescue me. He says, he hears that voice again. It says, let go. Trust me. I got you. And then there's silence for a moment. And the next thing you hear is anybody else out there? Yeah. Is anybody else out there? Why? He didn't believe that God could do things. Mm-hmm. And we're to tell you that the greatest encouragement we can give you, church, to pray is that because God is still doing things.
Right.
He's still in the miracle working business.
Right.
Somebody has got this virus going. Pray.
No.
The devil has no power.
Right.
No weapon forged against us, Pastor, right, is going to prevail.
Right.
I believe that the devil is enjoying the fact that there's a certain cowardice about us as believers. Mm. That we're not willing to do what Jesus did on the Mount of Temptation, when the devil said, do this, do that, and bow your knee and all this. And Jesus said, hold on a second. It is written.
Right.
You know, you will succumb to what is written and the word that comes out of the mouth of God. And we need to pray the word of God and say to this virus, in the name of Jesus, we command you to loosen God's people, to loosen our cities, to loosen our homes, our neighborhoods, mm-hmm, and the nation altogether in the name of Jesus. But prayer. Don't ever let prayer slip from your life. Mm. It's going to build you up always, always. You have not because you ask not.
Mm.
And we want to start asking. And we're going to do this as we begin to close this morning. We're going to ask the Lord to do things in our lives because we can.
Right.
He said you can approach the throne of God, of grace, because of the work that Christ has done for us.
Mm.
We can come to that throne, the Bible says, with confidence.
Yeah.
You know what confidence means? That you fully trust.
Yeah.
And you know what? I believe I can get an amen all the way. I'm going to try to listen all the way from your home. I can get a strong amen when I can tell you we can have confidence and trust in God.
Amen.
Amen. Rock of Ages, we love you. And we're going to pray today as we begin to close. We want to be able to stand together in prayer. Let's pray for Rock of Ages. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our neighborhood. Let's pray for the sick people that are getting infected with this devil that's floating around. And let's pray for ourselves that God would, again, remind us. You remember that sermon I preached to you, returning the articles of God. Mm. And those articles are exactly what we're talking about. Let's bring back the article of prayer in our personal lives now. Bring back the article of community and fellowship today while we're alone. Because again, I say to you, you never know when the Lord has placed you in this situation. Such a time as this, so that we can learn more about Him and us than we are to pay attention to what's going on politically, mm-hmm. and who's going to win the race, and what's these people doing, and who are the crooks and who are not. And all that, we envelop ourselves in stuff that's not essential to us as believers. We are called to pray for them and the Lord deal with them, and we're going to believe with them and just push them in to the arms and hands and correction of God. That's all our responsibility as believers, not to fight the liberals and the conservatives or all these other groups that are out there, but to pray and fight with, not against, but fight along with that God that walks alongside us like a mighty warrior.
Right.
So Pastor Duke, I'm going to ask you to pray, and maybe you'd like to make an invitation as we begin to close, but we're going to pray for this disease that's going about, this virus, and pray for our families and pray for Rock of Ages. If you need prayer, we want you to join us. Call somebody right now who needs prayer. Pray with us. We're going to believe that God's going to do something tomorrow. No, now, in Amen. Jesus' name. God bless you. We thank you for those who have joined with us from Rock of Ages and from outside of the city or even the nation. And you're chiming into this service. Why don't you shoot us a thumbs up or text us and let us know that you're having a good time with this, and we're going to come back and encourage you some more. Amen. This is what we've been called to do. But for anyone and everyone who has accessibility, if they don't have internet at their house, invite them to your home if you can safely, and let's get together again this coming Sunday at the same hour. But we're going to pray before we dismiss, and a very special invitation is going to be out to you this morning. Those of you who may not know Christ, God bless you and we love you. See you next time. Pastor, if you would.
Amen. You know, I just want to say this. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one can come to the Father. That is, no one can receive heaven's blessing. No one can receive an eternity in the kingdom of heaven without receiving Christ as their Amen. Lord and as yes, their Lord. Savior. And the Bible says that it's so simple for you and I is that all we have to do is, the Bible says, if we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ died for our sins, then we can be saved.
Yes.
So I want to make this invitation to you this morning, right there where you're at. Listen, if you're with a friend, you're with a family member, and they want to receive Christ right now, I just want you to embrace them, encourage them today. But listen, it's as simple as this. It's as simple as just repeating this prayer and just asking Jesus to be Lord of your life. And so if you want Jesus as your Lord today, I want to make this invitation to you today. Amen. And it's simple as this. Just repeat after me. Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Say, Jesus, come into my heart today.
Jesus, come into my heart
today. I acknowledge today.
I acknowledge today.
That I am a sinner.
That I am a sinner.
In need of a Savior.
In need of a Savior.
And I recognize today.
I recognize today.
That you died for my sins.
You died for my sins.
And your blood was shed.
And your blood was shed.
For my life.
For my life.
And so today.
So today.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
I receive you as Lord.
I receive you as Lord.
And as my Savior.
And as my Savior.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Teach me.
Teach me.
Show me your ways.
Show me your ways.
And help me in every way.
Help me in every way.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
And so right there where you're at, church, I want you to just bow your heads and I want to just pray a blessing over you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this conversation.
Yes, hallelujah.
We just feel you in this room today. And we just, Lord, thank you, God, for what you're teaching us. And Lord, I believe the instruction that you've given Pastor's heart, Lord, to just move our church in this direction, Lord. And so we thank you, Father, for community. We thank you, God, for the family of believers, God, that, Lord, are like links in a chain, Father, God, that help us, God, stay connected to you, Lord. And so, Father, it's all about, Lord, us being an encouragement to one another, Father. And so, Lord, if somebody in this place, Lord, if somebody, Lord, that is watching and listening today, God, is Lord, downcast, Lord, or if they're sick, Lord, or they're worried, Father, we just speak encouragement, healing, Father God, blessing into their life today, Father. And we trust, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that God, you will, Lord, restore our families, God. You will lift us up, God. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, you said in your word, Lord Jesus, God, that, Lord, from out of your mouth, God, as we send that word, God, it will accomplish everything that it was sent to do, Lord.
Yes.
And so we trust in you, Father. And we pray for our country, Lord. We pray for our cities, Lord. Mm. Father, Lord, there's so much division, God. There's so much hatred, Father. There's so much, Lord, just a divisiveness, Lord. And the enemy, God, Lord, it appears sometimes, Lord, as if the enemy is winning, Lord.
Thank
but
you,
we're
Lord.
Here to remind him today
yes.
that the devil is defeated.
Yes.
He was defeated on that cross more
Hallelujah.
Than 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
And so, Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus,
Thank
God,
you,
over our nation, over our cities, God,
yes, Lord.
Over our communities, God, over
Thank
Rock
you,
of
Father.
Ages, Lord, over
yes.
every family of believers, God, over
Thank
every
you,
listening ear today, Lord.
Thank
we trust
you, Lord.
In the mighty name of Jesus,
yes.
Lord, that you will deliver us, God,
Hallelujah.
And that you will continue to provide for us, Lord,
yes.
and sustain us, God, in a season like this, Lord.
That's right.
And so, Father, it's for such a time as this, Lord, that, Father, we have the ability, God, to, Lord, look inward today, Father. And, Lord, maybe look in those areas of our life, Lord, where maybe we've taken these things for granted, Lord, or Lord, we've allowed, Lord, some of these principles that we're teaching today, God, to fall from the wayside, Lord. And so, Father, we just embrace them once again
yes,
today, Father.
Yes, yes.
We embrace community, God. We embrace fellowship, Lord. We embrace, Lord, picking up that phone, God. We embrace, Lord, sharing these live streams, Father.
Prayer,
we embrace, Lord,
prayer,
Father God,
yes.
Lord, just the ability, God, to pray for one another, Lord.
Mm.
We do all of these things, Father God, because, Lord, we believe your Holy Spirit is wanting us to just move into this, Lord. And so
thank
we
you,
thank
God.
You for thank your you, kingdom.
Thank you,
we thank you for your righteousness. And, Lord, as we always pray, Father, use us, Lord, every single day, God, to be a light in this world. God, use us, God, to be a voice of hope and one of encouragement, Father, to everyone that we come in contact with, Lord.
Thank
someone
you.
Is hurting, God. Someone is in need of a word. Someone is in need, Father God, of just, Lord, that healing touch, Father.
Yes.
And so, Lord, use us, God, we pray.
Amen.
Use us, Lord
yes.
Jesus. We
yes.
thank you for these things, Father. We thank you for this word today. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. And amen. God bless
amen.
You. We'll see you next Sunday. Thanks a lot. We had a great time today. I hope that you did too. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.